I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 4. 2 Samuel chapter 4. I'm reading verse 4 for my text. 2 Samuel 4, verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, that is, the death of his grandfather and his father. And his nurse took him up and fled. It came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Now that's my subject this morning. That's the title of this message. And his name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. You heard that name before, Mephibosheth? A lot of people who read the Bible are familiar with David and Abraham and Moses and Solomon and Paul. And not a whole lot of folks familiar with Mephibosheth. But Mephibosheth is one of my favorite people. And I'm going to preach this morning from one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, the story of Mephibosheth. And his name was Mephibosheth. Now, you're going to be blessed to see what a beautiful picture of the grace of God to sinners is revealed in Mephibosheth. You're going to be amazed to discover how much Scripture is devoted to Mephibosheth. He's mentioned again and again and again and again in God's Word, Mephibosheth. You also are going to be blessed to realize how much like Mephibosheth you and I are, and how much the story of his recovery and his exaltation is likened to what God has done for you and for me. Where he found Mephibosheth is where he found us, and what he did, what David did for Mephibosheth, is what God's done for us. Now, turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 9. That's where we'll begin our message, 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now, you know, Israel wanted a king like the other nations, and God said, I'm your king. You have a king. No, they said, we want to be like the other nations. We want a king. So God told Samuel to anoint a king. Samuel said, I don't want to do that. Now, I said, Samuel, you go ahead and anoint a king. They're not rebelling against you. They're rebelling against me. So you do what I tell you. So they picked out Saul to be their king. And he wasn't a good king. He rebelled against God on every hand. Did some terrible things. And the Lord God refused him and anointed David to be king over all Israel. David was just a young man at that time. And God made him king over all of Israel. And David became a mighty warrior, even in the court of Saul. But Saul was jealous of David, tried to kill him on many occasions. And Saul had a son called Jonathan. And Jonathan was a man who knew God and loved God. And he knew David was God's chosen king, and he loved David. They were deep and faithful friends. Well, finally, Saul was killed, and David became king. Now, it was customary in that day for the one who became king, if he wasn't in the family of the preceding king, that he destroyed the other king's family, just destroyed them, especially the sons, lest some son should rise up and secure a following and take over the kingdom. So that was customary. If a new king came in, if he wasn't of the family of the preceding king, he just destroyed all of the heirs, all of the sons and grandsons and everybody, and to protect his kingdom. Well, David, listen, in chapter 9, David became king. And he said, chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, David said, Is there yet any left of the house of Saul? Any of Saul's sons living, grandsons? Not that I may kill him, but that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called Ziba unto David, the king said to him, Are you Ziba? He said, Thy servant is he. And the king said to Ziba, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said to the king, Well, Jonathan has a son. Your friend Jonathan has a son, but he's crippled. He's a crippled fellow. He doesn't walk. He's lame on both his feet. And David said, the king said, Well, where is he? And Ziba said, Well, unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Machir. He's a fugitive. He's hiding. You remember the nurse took him up and ran back years before that, ran and hid him. And he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. No pasture, the land of no pasture. They're poor, desolate place. And then King David sent and fetched him. David sent and fetched him. He didn't send him an invitation. He sent his men to get him. He said, You go fetch him. That's a word we used to use in Alabama, fetch it. Go fetch it. Go fetch a bucket of water. Go fetch a scuttle of coal. Go fetch it. And so David fetched him out of the house of Machir, son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now, you can imagine this boy's fear and fight. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face. Here's this crippled boy, having been in hiding and lame from this poor land, was brought up here to the palace of David. Awesome, awesome place. David and Joab, listen to these names, and all of his mighty warriors all assembled here in this great hall to bring in this lame, crippled fellow, and he can't walk, and somebody has to carry him. It wasn't. It was a bad, bad sight, and he lay on the floor in front of David, and he fell on his face, and he did reverence. David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold, thy servant. David said to him, Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You've got every reason to be afraid. He's the son of Saul, grandson of Saul. He's the heir to this throne David's sitting on. But he's an enemy. And David said, You don't need to be afraid. I'm going to show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. I'm going to bless you and be kind to you because I loved your father. Your father was my friend. And I'm going to show you kindness for his sake. And I'm going to restore unto you all the land of Saul, your father. You're going to eat bread at my table. You're going to be like the king's son. You're going to sit at my table. You're going to be one of the wealthiest men in this entire land. You realize what his father, grandfather Saul, owned, who was king of Israel? All of his land is going to be yours. And you're going to sit at my table, my own table, continually. And Mephibosheth bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and he said unto him, I've given your master's son all that pertained to Saul, to all his house. Thou therefore and your sons and your servants will till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits to him, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, is going to eat bread always at my table. And Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. These all were Mephibosheths now. And then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. And as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of my sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. Show you how old Mephibosheth was. He had a son. In his 20s or so. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Brother Henry, how is Mephibosheth a picture of us? Why does this appeal to you like this? Well, there's several reasons. Number one, this mercy of David to this crippled, unworthy son of his enemy. This mercy was designed for Mephibosheth before he was ever born. Before David ever met Mephibosheth, ever looked at Mephibosheth, ever laid eyes on him, David made a promise concerning him. Let me show you that. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. This is so beautiful here. Before David ever saw Mephibosheth, ever knew he existed. He didn't even know he existed. But he planned mercy for him before he ever saw him. In the name of another. All right, Jonathan, chapter 20 of 1 Samuel, verse 11. And Jonathan said to David, come, let's go out in the field. Now, you know who these two are. This is David, who has the anointing of God on him to be king of Israel. This man, Jonathan, is Saul's son. And Jonathan loves David. They're friends. He knows God's hands on David. He knows his father is going to be killed and the kingdom taken away from him. And he knows he'll be killed too because he's his father's son. So he took David by the hand and said, let's go out in the field. And they went both of them out into the field. You have the scripture? 1 Samuel 20, verse 12. Jonathan said to David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it to thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do you evil, then I'll show it to you, and I'll send you away. If my father has evil intentions towards you, I'll send you away, that you may go in peace, and the Lord be with you, as he's been with my father. And thou shalt not only, listen, and thou shalt not only, yet while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not. But also, David, thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him. He loved him as he loved his own soul. You see that? What I've got here is, before this Mephibosheth was even born, Jonathan and David were out in the field, and Jonathan said, now David, God's hand's on you. And if my father devises evil towards you, I'll tell you and send you away. But now, give me your hand. Shake hands with me. Let's make a covenant. Promise me. Promise me, when I'm dead, you'll be good to my sons. You'll show kindness to my sons. What was the very thing David said in our text? Turn back to our text, 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? I've got a promise to keep. I've got a covenant to fulfill. I promised Jonathan I'd show mercy to his house. Well, my friends, our salvation, God's shown mercy to me and he's shown mercy to you. But this mercy is everlasting mercy. Back before the world began, God made a covenant, an everlasting covenant. Hear me. He said he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. God Almighty established a covenant, an agreement between him and his Son, that for Christ's sake he'd show mercy to sinners. And he's done just that. God turned it with me to 2 Timothy. This is one of the strongest scriptures on this subject in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writing to young Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord." What David is saying here, when he sends for Mephibosheth, he's saying, I've got a promise to fulfill. I've got a covenant to keep. Is there any of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake to fulfill my promise? All right, look at our text again, 2 Samuel 9. Well, Ziba the servant says, verse 3, "Is there any yet of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said to the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son who's lame on his feet." He's crippled. Well, how did he get crippled? How did he become lame? Well, he became lame through a fall. When the news came about the defeat of Saul, the overthrow of Saul, and the death of Saul, and the death of Jonathan, this boy's father, when the nurse heard that Saul and Jonathan were dead and the kingdom was lost, she knew what that meant to this boy, death. The enemy's coming for him next. She grabbed him up, evidently, going to put him on a horse or something, or a camel or whatever, and he fell. And evidently crushed both of his legs. And he was lame from then on. And I tell you, the same thing's true of us. What happened to us? We're not like we were. We're not like God created us. God created us holy and righteous without sin. Adam was created in the image of God. But he fell. He fell. And he became lame. Mephibosheth had legs, but he couldn't walk. That's the way we are. Christ said, "You've got eyes, but you can't see. You've got ears, but you can't hear. You've got hearts, but you can't understand. You've got minds, but you can't know God unless he's revealed. You have feet, but you can't walk spiritually." We're dead spiritually. We were lame through the fall. It's like this boy Mephibosheth. And I tell you where it put us. It put us in the house of no pasture, no bread. Pitiful surrounding. Adam was holy in the image of God and lived in a beautiful garden. All of his needs met. He fell. And now thorns and thistles and briars and no bread, no pasture. And that's where we are, lame on both our feet. Well, it says in the next verse, verse 5, Then David sent and fetched him. Mephibosheth didn't seek David. David sought him. I tell you, if he had known the mercy of David, he would have sought him, wouldn't he? But he didn't know the mercy of David. He was afraid. He was an enemy of David. He was afraid. And he was hiding right where he was. But David sent after him. David loved him. David fetched him. David called to him. David remembered his covenant, and he went after Mephibosheth. And I'm saying that that's true, that if you're one of his own, he'll come after you. And no matter where you wander, no matter where you go, he'll come after you. If his affections of David, the covenant of grace included this boy from way back yonder. And David knew when he became king that he was, as soon as he got in power, he loved Jonathan. He was going to fulfill his promise to Jonathan. And when he got in power, he did just that. He fulfilled that promise. He went after that boy. He went after him. He wouldn't take no. And our God, he saves whom he will. I've been watching all this invasion of Russia by American religionists. The last letter I got from this Andrew Voth, who's the Russian, he said that the Russian churches were getting pretty fed up with what was coming out of the West in the name of religion, and that they were becoming suspicious of everybody that came over there. Everybody's just trying to shove their brand of religion. You know, Russia doesn't need the Swaggart, Bakert, Falwell fundamentalist religion. It's messed us up enough. Why would we want to put it over there? They don't need the junk that's going on in the name of religion, but that's what's going over there. That's what's... I know this. The Lord God of heaven and earth is not impotent. He's almighty. He'll save whom he will. Now, he has a covenant of grace, and he has a sheep. And he said, "All the sheep I have, them I will bring. I must bring." And when you go somewhere to preach, you go looking for Mephibosheth. You go looking for covenant people. You go looking for sheep. You go preaching the gospel, and they'll hear you. They'll hear you. God will fetch them. God will flush them out. God will bring them to himself. He will. He's got his mark on them. They're his sons and daughters. And this gospel is to find them. It's to find them. David sent after Mephibosheth. He didn't send out a bulletin and say, "If there's anybody out there that wants mercy, come up here, I'll give it to you." He sent for Mephibosheth. That's who he sent for. Covenant mercies. He sent for him, and he found him. And listen, here's the attitude, Mephibosheth, with which he came, verse 6. "Now when he came, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, fell on his face." That's the way people come to Christ and come to God. They fall on their face. They worship God. They know they don't deserve it. And he said up here in verse 8, he bowed himself and he said, "Who am I? What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" David said to Mephibosheth, he said, "I'm going to restore to you everything you lost in the death of your grandfather and your father. Everything. God's restored my soul in Christ. Everything I lost in Adam, he's restored and more. I'm better off than Adam was. Far better off. Adam could fall. We can't. Adam could perish. We can't. I've got back everything he lost. Eternal life, holiness, righteousness, everything in Christ. He's restored it, and God lets me sit at his table. We're his son, beloved. Now are we sons of God. Sons of God. We eat at the table of God continually." Mephibosheth said, "Why me?" You'll never get over that. He said, "I'm just a crippled, dead dog. I'm no good, no good to anybody. What can I..." "David, I can't lead your armies. I can't take care of your gardens. I'm crippled. I can't add anything to your glory. I can't build your buildings." David said, "You can love and worship me, or love and pay me honor. You can sit at my table, eat, be my friend." That's right. I can't. What can I add to God? God said, "If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine." God didn't save me to serve him. He saved me for his name's sake. He saved me for the praise of the glory of his grace. That's right. I will serve him, doing what I can. But I'm just a dead dog. A dead dog can't do much. But he's glad to have life. And that was Mephibosheth, very humble. And it says here in verse 13, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and did he continue at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet." He's still lame. He's still lame. And I'll tell you that about us. The king has been merciful to us and gracious to us and brought us to his table. But I tell you this, we still got marks of the fall. And they hang on to, they're still there. They're reality. Well, I want to show you something else about Mephibosheth.
He wasn't without trial. Now, he loved David. Can you imagine how much he loved David? Can you imagine how grateful he was? David brought him from nowhere to everything just because he would. David brought him from poverty to plenty. He brought him from running as a fugitive, an outcast, to the son of a king. My, to whom much is forgiven, he'll love much. But Mephibosheth was not without trial. Let me tell you a little story. David's son Absalom rose up against him and actually took the kingdom. David had to leave the palace, leave the throne, leave the city of Jerusalem. David had to flee for his life, and a bunch of people fled with him as Absalom took over the kingdom. And Mephibosheth, when he got word that David was leaving, he called his servant Ziba. Remember Ziba? He called him to him and said, Ziba, my king's leaving. I'm going with him. Now, he's crippled. He said, Ziba, saddle me a horse and get me some bread and wine and raisins and provisions, and I'll take them to my king for him and his men. Now, you do that. Ziba didn't do that. Ziba left Mephibosheth in his house. He went and got the horses and the mules and the raisins and the wine and the bread. He went to the king and left Mephibosheth. Now, you read about that here in 2 Samuel 16. A few years had passed in 2 Samuel 16. Listen to this. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, David's fleeing here now. David and his men are fleeing from Jerusalem. When he was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said, Ziba, what meanest thou by these? What are you doing here with these things? And Ziba said, well, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, your wife and children, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, where's Mephibosheth? Where's your master's son? And Ziba said to the king, behold, Mephibosheth abides at Jerusalem. Mephibosheth said, today shall the house of Israel restore unto me the kingdom of my father. Ziba lied on him. Mephibosheth's in trouble. You know, God's people are never without trouble. We have trouble along the way. In all bed of roses, is it? Misrepresented, lied about, mistreated by those next to him. And the king was angry. And he said to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertain to Mephibosheth. I strip him of everything I gave him and give it to you. And listen to this crook. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Boy, everything's not like it looks, is it? Not like it looks. The one that really loved David was back there at the house. And the man that feigned love and pretended it is here talking about how much he loved the king. Well, it'll come to pass. The trial will be over. And it did. David came back to the kingdom. Let me show you that. Just a few chapters, 2 Samuel 19. Turn over there. David came back. Absalom was killed. And David came back and took the kingdom, back on the throne. Some time had passed, and he's back now on the throne. And verse 24 of 2 Samuel 19, David returned to the kingdom. And Mephibosheth, this man's all through here. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king when David came home. And he had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. He grieved and mourned over the loss of fellowship with his lord, with his king. He never even washed his clothes. He was grieving ever trimmed his beard, waiting, praying that David come back. And it came to pass when David came to Jerusalem, when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king said to him, "Why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. My servant said, 'I'll saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go.'" I said this to him. I said, "I'll saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to my king, because thy servant is lame, and he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what's good in thine eyes." It's all right. It's all right. David is standing here before Mephibosheth, this crippled fellow. He said, "That's all right. Whatever you do, that's fine. I'm glad you're home. Whatever you do is fine." Verse 28, "For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. I was a dead man before. You could have executed me. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thy table. What right, therefore, have I to cry any more unto the king? I don't have anything to demand. Everything I have, you gave me. It's all grace. If you allow this trial to go on, it's all right. I've been misunderstood and misrepresented and lied on by this servant. But if that's what you decree, that's all right. That's all right. I don't have anything to demand. I don't have anything to require. I don't have anything, because when you found me, I was a dead man. And everything I have, you gave me." And the king said to Mephibosheth, "Why speakest thou any more of the matter? I have said, 'Thou and Ziba divide the land.'" Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him have all of it." Let him have it all. Let him have it all. "For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house," I'm glad to have my king. And the rest of it is immaterial. See, Ziba's the covetous one. He's the one that wants all these things. You can be sure David straightened that out. You can be sure of it. But I want you to see the attitude of this man here. That he didn't deserve the good things. He didn't deserve these things. He knows he didn't. He knows that it's all by the grace of David. And we know everything we have by the grace of God. So whatever, Paul said, "Whatever my lot, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. I'm content with whatever God gave me. I'm content because I have him. I have Christ." That's enough. Was that the end of the story? Nope. Something else happened. Turn to 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. Now this is our picture all through life. You know what Yogi Berra says? It's not over till it's over. And it's not over yet. Not over till it's over. And David's back on the throne. Mephibosheth's back in his house. But it ain't over. It's appointed him. The man wants to die after that judgment. 2 Samuel 21. Verse 1, I want you to listen real carefully, very carefully. "Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years." 3 years, year after year. "And David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, 'The famine is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites.'" Now, who were the Gibeonites? Well, Saul came down here. David was run. This was years ago. Years ago. Long time ago, before Mephibosheth was born. David was just a young lad. And he was running from Saul. Fleeing from Saul. God had anointed him king, but he's fleeing from Saul. And the Gibeonites befriended David. And they gave him food to eat, even bread from the house of God. You remember those priests gave David bread to eat? And helped him along his way. And David left, and Saul came in. And Saul said, "You've helped David, haven't you?" Well, they said, "Yes, David's God's man. David's God's king." 85 priests. 85 priests of God. Saul said to his men, "Kill them, every one of them. Kill them." And the men wouldn't do it. And there's a servant there by the name of Dog. That's a good name for him. D-O-E-G. Doeg was his name, but his name was Dog. He was a dog. And Saul turned to him and said, "Kill him." And he killed 85 priests. Murdered them. Left them lying in blood. 85 priests of God. It's not over till it's over. And this is years later. Listen. And God sent a famine 3 years without rain, bread. And said it's because he slew those priests. Verse 2, and the king called the Gibeonites and said to them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said to the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said to him, we will have no silver or gold of Saul, nor of this house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, well, what you shall say, that will I do for you. Tell me what to do. They said, we don't want any money. We don't want anybody killed in the house of Israel. They answered the king, the man that consumed us, that devised against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons find his grandsons. That's what you mean by sons. Find his grandsons. Find his great-grandsons. Find them. And deliver, let them be delivered to us, and we'll hang them up before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king says, I'll give them to you. 7 sons of Saul. Mephibosheth, what about him? He's one of the leading sons. He is the grandson of Saul, of Jonathan, his favorite son. But God. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. I tell you, David said to Mephibosheth, he said, I'll show you kindness because of my covenant with Jonathan, because of my love for Jonathan. I'll restore to you everything you lost. I'll make you a son. I'll seat you at my table. I'll protect you and keep you. And then when the final chapter is written and all the sons of Saul are hanging from a tree, 7 of them, all of them, there's one missing. He's at the king's table, protected and loved. Why? For Jonathan's sake. And I'd like to tell the whole world. I know that they're sending out some kind of message that God's love and mercy is upon every descendant of Adam. But experience in Scripture reveals differently. The flood was certainly no act of mercy or love. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was no act of mercy and love. Condemnation of sinners is not an act of mercy and love. It's an act of wrath and judgment. I tell you, the act of mercy and love is that son of Saul sitting at David's table. Sitting there protected and loved. And I tell you, he can ascribe every act of mercy in his position to one thing. David loved Jonathan. David loved Jonathan. And I'll tell you this, if there's any mercy for you and me, it's because God loves Christ, his son. Because he made a covenant with Christ and gave Christ to people. And those people are loved before they're born. They're given to Christ. Christ died for them. God will call them. He'll protect them. He'll keep them. And when death comes, and when this whole world stands before God in judgment, there's going to be some people spared for Christ's sake. And that's what this thing's all about. It's believing on Christ. It's receiving him. It's finding him, finding our refuge in him. That's what we pray. We pray, Lord, save me for Christ's sake. We pray, Lord, hear our prayer for Christ's sake. Listen, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why did God forgive you? For Christ's sake. because he loved you and died for you. That's the gospel. And I tell you, it's a gospel that produces humility and contrition, brings us down. We're nobody. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. It's by his work of righteousness. It's not by something we've given. It's by him giving his life. He died for us. We're loved in Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Mephibosheth is a perfect picture of us. Mephibosheth is there because of Jonathan. Isn't that right, Bob? He's there because of Jonathan. And I'm here because of Christ. No difference in by nature in me and Al Capone. No, there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What I have is because of Christ. That's just so.